Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh, bless you. When did it come on? Was it when you knew you were going to have to speak to me?
Well, I think maybe it's been about 3 days now because, I don't know, sometimes I'm in denial that I have them and I just feel dreadful. And then,
right.
And then I suddenly I'm out the other end of it and I realise it was probably a migraine, but... Yesterday.
The whole time.
Anyway. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a lot better than I was the other day when I had my mental breakdown.
I really enjoyed
it. We nearly fell out.
I really enjoyed because as well, we're doing Walt Disney and loads of the criticism of him is that he makes all of his workers do things even when they're not, you know, when it's too many hours and it's not what they is best for them. And I did feel a little bit like Walt Disney.
He was making money though. Although, we've made some money, haven't we?
50 big ones.
50 smackers through the post to Great Big Owl.
I need to invoice for that. Actually, I've not done it.
Yeah, I haven't.
Shall I do it?
I'll let you do it.
I'll do it today.
Cool.
Do you trust me to then distribute it evenly between us? Aww.
I do, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Or you can just take me for a, I don't know, a veggie burger when all this is over.
You think all of this is going to end? That's very optimistic of you.
Yeah, we've swapped
That's
roles.
That's not the Tilly I know.
Oh, I'm just fully in denial, so I'm still the Tilly you know and love. fully not accepting reality.
Wow. Oh, this is bitchin'. Every week we talk about somebody and that's it, really.
Yeah, we talk about a public figure in some sense and we dissect them. We start talking about other things. Maybe it's not that relevant or useful. Basically, if you're expecting to do anything other than waste some time, don't listen to us because you'll be severely disappointed.
Also, welcome to all of our new listeners. Who knew quarantine?
Do we have new listeners?
Oh, yes, mate. They're all tuning in. Hi there.
Have we vetted them?
They might have accidentally stumbled across us in their sort of iTunes hole. But welcome all the same. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Our DMs are open, I think. Or did we close them after
Slide
all?
Slide in with those dick pics.
Yes,
reply, guys.
Unless you're a fascist, in which case we know that we're not for you. You don't need to tell us.
Yeah, we don't want to see your dicks. Or actually, maybe,
yeah,
we,
maybe
do.
We do.
I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, there's some very noisy builders outside, by the way, so if you hear any cluttering and clattering...
I can't hear anything.
Oh, no, it's just in my head.
We're both very well mentally. That should be the takeaway from this podcast right now. It's all fine.
It's all fine. So, yeah, like we said last week, we're going to sort of act as though none of this is happening. But then we did sort of derail and accidentally talk about the end of the world a little bit. But we'll
try not to do that this week. But we can't promise anything.
And who are we talking about this week, Tilly?
Walt Disney! I've got a migraine now. The big man.
The B-I-G.
W-D.
Would you?
Would I? With Walt Disney.
Yeah.
With Walt Disney's cryo corpse. He was fit. I like his moustache.
Mm.
I'm into that.
Good at drawing.
Bit of a dick, though, wasn't he? Let's be.
Yeah.
We haven't even opened the Wikipedia yet, but...
Shall I read his Wikipedia? There we go. That's where we normally start,
yeah.
Isn't it? Here we go.
That's where we start.
Walt Elias Disney. Born December the 5th, 1901. died December the 15th, oh, just after his birthday, 1966. So he was 65. Was an American entrepreneur, animator, writer, voice actor and film producer. A pioneer of the American animation industry, he introduced several developments in the production of cartoons. As a film producer, Disney holds the record for most Academy Awards earned by an individual, having won 22 Oscars from 59 nominations. He was presented...
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good, isn't it? 59 nominations, that's a lot of Oscar parties. I wonder if he wore the same tux.
No.
I never get why you'd ever buy a new tux.
If you start going to like the BAFTAs every year when you're a bit older and you're...
More successful.
Basically, yeah, which will probably happen. I feel like you'll just go wearing the same
bin bag
dress every year.
I just don't. I really appreciate designers. I think they do an amazing job. I just think, particularly if you're a man and you're wearing a tux, why would you? Why not just wear the same one? No one's going to know.
True. But that would involve people all being as... having the same depth that you do. And not everyone is as deep as you, Helen.
That's so not what it is. It's not ethical reasons. It's just I can never be bothered.
It's just that you keep all your clothes in bin bags and you haven't got a fucking clue what's going on.
Do you know
on.
What? You'd be so proud because you know I built a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
I mean, from IKEA.
That was big news 5 months ago on the podcast, was it?
Yeah, and it's all gone a bit downhill since then because what I sort of forgot is just because I built a new wardrobe doesn't mean that I am a new person who's capable. and so I have my hangers, but I've got my bit of my wardrobe where I keep my clothes, which is the floor of my wardrobe. I've just not got into a habit yet of hanging things up.
Well, this could be the time.
Maybe now is the moment. But for who? Who am I doing that for other than myself? And I don't respect myself, so.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
That's ultimately basically the issue. So, He drew Mickey Mouse and then it all was uphill from there, really.
Well, was it? Oh, you're showing me your breasts there. You're panning down the laptop screen. Goodness me. Without a bra as well.
How can you tell?
So, I don't think it was all uphill for him.
Oh, go on. Do you pray tell?
Well, I think there was a lot of failure in Walt Disney's life before he had a... There were quite a few false starts with him, with his cartooning. He was in a contract with someone called Pat Powers, who I think worked at Universal. And that all went tits up. And Disney had a nervous breakdown in 1931, which was just before, a couple of years before everything started to take off for him. And I was just wondering what your perspective is on failure and being an artiste.
Oh, that's really nice.
I've never asked you your opinion before on this show.
Maybe I'm going to fail in my answer and that will be, like, a bit meta.
And then you'll forgive yourself and that'll be fine.
I think, you know, it's interesting because he sort of, as an individual, has been superseded by him as a brand. So I don't think we really, when we think of Disney... I know we do think of Walt Disney, but I think that's because the brand tried to associate all of the work with this sort of individual, because that's how humans, particularly Americans, no offence to all the Americans listening, like to think of things. It's like through the perspective of one man and one vision. And actually, I think the real success of Disney seems to be in the sort of mechanisms of the company rather than... I mean, he's clearly a very talented individual. But in terms of failure... Yeah, I guess failing is fine, isn't it? You'll be all right if you'd fail.
But I guess we don't hear about all the people who failed and then just gave up.
That's true.
Just went, actually, this is all a bit much.
Yeah, which is most people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be me in a couple of years. I've set myself a deadline.
But he was 30 when he had his nervous breakdown, so you've got a bit of time.
I've already had a few. I'm hoping by 30. But I should probably now push it back to 31. Basically, my deadline was, if I'm not making a reasonable living just from acting and being a general
artist,
layabout, by the time I'm 30, that I will quit and get a proper job.
Wow.
But
nah.
This year's a write-off now, isn't it? So I should push it back to 31, I think.
Yeah, you should. But I always think it's a bit like, this is very bleak, but old people, when they think they're ready to die, and then you actually get to it, and you're not, are you ever? I mean, some people are, but most people, it's not like...
Right now we are, yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, I really hope you don't quit, because I like hanging out and doing this.
I mean, I've got a few years. It's not like a defeatist thing. It's more like the level of uncertainty. Well, now everyone is experiencing the same level of uncertainty that now everyone is experiencing. Well, definitely more uncertainty than I was, but kind of as an actor or as a self-employed artist of any kind, you don't really become acclimatized to it. You just do it, and it's always shit. And I don't think there are any humans who do that well with uncertainty. Maybe there's more people who, because of trauma or whatever, are more inclined to go seeking it out. But actually, there's something in kind of like all the stockpiling and stuff that I was like, oh, like it's a very human thing to want to have more than you need because of fear. And I kind of thought, oh, maybe I can learn something from that particular human impulse. And when this is all over, be a bit more okay with it. I don't know.
I really love Lucy Prebble in Enron when she describes the economy as a flight that you're on that's in the sky, but the only thing that's keeping the plane up is all of the passengers on the flight believing that the plane is capable of keeping in the air. And that's the economy, how we all basically have to buy into it and believe in it in order for it to exist. And I think that's so just like humans with everything, isn't it? And what this has kind of taught us is the most certain things aren't actually fixed. And particularly in the Western world, we're so arrogant thinking that we're all... like, all these structures that are man-made are therefore invincible. And I think it's, uncertainty is horrible and it's really natural to tie yourself to certainty. But there is something really freeing about just being like, well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next, and that's okay.
And I wonder how much of capitalism is just that, is just a safeguarding against feeling the pain and the discomfort that comes from not knowing what's next.
Yeah, you're so
And that's why... Walt Disney in 1940 cut his animators' wages because the studio was in a lot of debt, and then that led to an animator strike in 1941 where he lost a lot of his animators, and he hated them all. He thought that they were all communists, and that's because he wanted to keep on making all the money for himself.
Love the money.
Yeah.
He loved the money. Cause so he drew his thingy. He made his studio. So when was that in relation to then when
he had then signed with another studio? I think after the Pat Powers thing went bad, and that's when they made. Is it Snow White? Is that the first one?
Yes.
The first feature.
Yes.
And then that was like a bit of a success, and then their next two films weren't.
Fantasia.
Yeah, they both lost money.
Then he did Dumbo, Bambi, and then Cinderella, and then Mary Poppins, which received 5 Academy Awards. And have you seen Saving Mr. Banks?
I haven't,
Oh, no. It's fantastic!
Is it?
But it's really interesting. So it's all about the writer of Mary Poppins, who's this very British, very sort of prim novelist, being sort of...
P.L. Travers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Being played by Emma Thompson. Mwah. Being seduced into adapting her book for film by Tom Hanks. So we'd all fall for that, who plays a brilliant Walt Disney. But there is something really interesting about even the film itself, which I'm pretty sure is made by Disney, is a slight rewriting of the reality of what actually happened, which is that she was never truly happy with the film. She, because at the end of... Oh, I don't want to ruin the... I've ruined it. Spoiler in retrospect. In the film, they sort of show this journey she goes on where she eventually does come to terms with it and cries all the way through the final screening of it. But in,
but she hated
it,
right?
In reality, she thought it was dog shit.
Yeah, mood.
But it was, you know, a really, really successful thing for Disney. And I think sort of sums up what Disney's brand has always been about, which is something that's very un-British, actually, which is turning this character who was very no-nonsense into, I've not read the books, I'm just speculating, but into this sort of very sentimental. I was never allowed to watch Disney as a child because it was too sentimental.
Whose decision was that?
Well, I say I wasn't allowed. There just wasn't any Disney. I never watched any Disney. My dad, I think, thought it was very over sentimentalised, and then there were a lot of issues around The Lion King, which I think my parents were right about the fact that it's all about inherited, you know, power, and how we all have a right to inherit the power that our parents had. And
yeah, a lot of the messages of the films are not that great,
they're a bit imperialist, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really watch Disney films. I don't really get the, like, I loved Aladdin when I was growing up. I don't yuck anyone's yum if you're at home right now and you're on Disney Plus watching every single film they've ever made. Like, fair play. Yeah. I'm currently watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus and it's great, and Baby Yoda is the cutest thing of all time. But I don't really feel.
But did you watch it much as a child? Were you shown them all when you were growing up? Because I think that's it, the nostalgia of...
I have seen them all. I don't know, like, when I was growing up, I just loved Pokemon. I loved Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z.
You're on such a tipping point between being the lamest and the coolest person that I know, and I'm never quite sure which way it's gonna tip. But I do think it's...
Well, during this quarantine, I might finally succumb to... being a complete loser.
Lame. I do get it. I get the complete nostalgia of something that you watch and you fall in love with as a child. Like, for me, that's maybe Sesame Street and The Simpsons. And then watching it as an adult, particularly in a time like this, the comfort of that is amazing, isn't it? And I do get that. But you should all feel complicit in an imperialist regime while you're enjoying your... cute cartoons. He hates it.
There are definitely a few Disney films that are brilliant. And I mean, now they own Pixar and...
Yeah.
I mean, they own everything now, so it's kind of like...
You can't hate everything.
You can't hate everything, right?
Did you know there's a whole Wikipedia... there's Walt Disney's Wikipedia, there's Walt Disney Company.
Yeah.
And then there's criticism of the Walt Disney Company as its own Wikipedia... And oh my...
I didn't get to that one.
It's so long.
Is it?
I think just, if you're listening, go away and do your own Googling. The different tabs...
There's so much. There's so many fucking weird stuff that we could talk about. Like, did you read about all those, performers on Disney cruises, like, dying?
No.
And, like, going overboard in, like, mysterious circumstances. Yeah.
No, what was this?
So this is the disappearance of Rebecca Corriam. Early on the morning of 22nd of March 2011, Rebecca Corriam, a British crew member on the cruise ship Disney Wonder, was captured by CCTV in the crew lounge having a phone conversation that appeared to be causing her some emotional difficulty. Several hours later, she missed the beginning of her work shift and could not be located anywhere aboard the ship, then off the Pacific coast of Mexico. Her disappearance was the first such incident in the history of the Disney Cruise Line. I think there have been some more after that, see after this. The case remains under investigation and her whereabouts since the phone conversation have not been established. Her parents have been critical of Disney's handling of the investigation, believing the company knows more than it claims to and has been more interested in avoiding unfavourable publicity than cooperating with investigators. Her family settled a lawsuit against Disney out of court in 2016. The Corriams have been supported by British government officials who have instituted policies allowing for more comprehensive investigations of such incidents in the future, and advocates for the relatives of many other crew and passengers who have been reported missing from cruise ships over the last decade.
What?
There are claims that Disney has more extensive evidence than it has so far admitted and have been accused of instigating a cover-up.
That's mad. I didn't know there were Disney cruises. Are they still a thing, do you reckon? I hope they're not out at sea at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
That's completely insane.
Basically, never go on a cruise, guys. That's my... like, they're fucking death traps anyway.
Well, I went on a cruise once, and it was actually an Archers cruise, because I used to be in the Radio 4 soap opera, The Archers, before they fired me for having a really annoying voice.
Wait, there are conventions for The Archers.
Are you joking? Yes, oh my god, all the fans are hardcore. There was...
And did you just get abuse?
I mean, I did. Part of the reason for me eventually being recast, because I was so unbelievably hated. There was a Pip Archer Must Die Facebook group. I must have told you about this.
Yeah, you have talked about this, yeah.
Anyway, so actually what was great about the cruise is everyone was very nice, because there wasn't the internet in the way to be, you know, anonymous. It was a cruise, and part of the entertainment was three cast members of the Archers were on the cruise, and we'd do little, like, performances or teach people how to milk a cow to make it sound like a cow was being milked on the radio. And there was an outbreak of norovirus on the cruise. And apparently the crew were saying it's really common, like it happens in loads and loads of cruises, and every single day the yeah. captain would do an announcement of how many more people were quarantined to their rooms. And they
fucking hell.
They changed all of the salt and pepper shakers to you know, when you, it's just in a packet, rather, and there were hand sanitizer everywhere. It was a little bit like the start of this before we all went into lockdown, where all of the businesses kind of changed their the amount that you're able to touch things. But it was interesting because I just think that it like you say, it's a death trap, where clearly it's really common that if you're all on a confined space floating at sea, you all, if one person gets norovirus, you're all going to get norovirus.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, he'd really really like begrudgingly do the daily announcement of today 203 people. He was English, I don't know why I'm doing.
Fucking hell.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, I can't find any other people who went missing on Disney cruises, but I fuck you not. There is a whole Wikipedia page titled List of Incidents at Walt Disney World.
Stop.
So I know what I'm doing for the rest
of
today.
Well, here we go. That's crazy. I wonder how many Walt Disney related Wikipedia pages there are.
But I guess like theme parks and cruise ships in general are just kind of death traps in general.
Yeah. How are you on the rides?
Oh, I don't go on those.
I have this weird thing in my life where, so I have a legitimate phobia of roller coasters that started when I was about 7 years old, and I went on an upside down one, what they called, the Loopy Loos ones, and I was wearing an orange hat, it was my favourite hat, and I didn't realise the ride was going to go upside down, and it went upside down and my hat fell off, and I was next to my mum and she said, just put your head between your legs, and I just sat with my head between my legs for the whole ride, just crying and crying and crying, and I got off and I didn't understand why anyone had built such a thing that made me feel so horrible and sad, and I never got my orange hat back. Anyway, for some reason, it's this running theme in my life where at least twice a year, I find myself at some kind of mad theme park and I go on all the rides and I have a horrible day. I can't be in a theme park and not go on the rides. Yeah, and then me and Matt went to Los Angeles a couple of years ago and I bought us both tickets to go to Universal Studios, and it was simultaneously the best and worst day of my life because they have a special Harry Potter ride that was really fast and scary, but I went on it, I think, 16 times.
In one day?
Have I talked about this before?
Not that you went on the ride 16 times.
Yeah, I kept queuing up. And I thought, I'd finally overcome my fear. And then we went on the mummy ride and it was all... I had to have a big sit down. It was awful. Go on.
What was the mummy ride like?
Oh. So you go forward, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they pull you back and down. Backwards. Really.
Sounds thrilling.
They pull you back and down. Wow. You should be a writer.
That is all that I can say about it. Pulled you back and down very, very fast.
And you don't want it to happen.
It was horrible.
Yeah, they're simply not for me, I have to say. I like little trains. I like steam trains. They're nice.
Yeah.
I'll happily go on a steam train when all this is over.
Oh, I quite like haunted houses.
Mm.
So go on, what happened at Walt Disney? Is there, or should we leave people to Google it?
Oh, it's literally like, you could spend a whole day looking at all the shit that's happened. Funnily, one of his descendants is a documentary maker called Abigail Disney, who gave away most of her inheritance when she was in her 20s.
Legend!
Because she didn't want to be a billionaire. And there's a really good interview with her, actually, which I recommend people checking out. Yeah, it's an interview with The Cut, and it's called What It's Like to Grow Up with More Money Than You'll Ever Spend. She is the granddaughter of Roy O. Disney, co-founder of the Walt Disney Company. Roy was, I think, Walt Disney's brother, I think, making her an heiress to the Disney family fortune. She declines to say how much she inherited, but has given away over $70 million since she turned 21.
What?
There's a really good bit.
Do we know where she gave it? Did she give it to me?
Okay. Did you have a moment in your life when things started getting lavish and you realised, oh, I'm super rich? When I went off to college, Michael Eisner came in and reinvigorated the company, and then the stock price, which was basically my family's entire net worth, was 10 times, 20 times, 50 times what it had been when I was growing up. So all of a sudden, we went from being comfortable, upper-middle-class people, I'd love to know what she thinks that is, to suddenly my dad had a private jet. That's when I feel my dad really lost his way in life. And that's why I feel hyper-conscious about what wealth does to people. I lived in one family as a child, and then I didn't even recognise the family as I got older. In what ways did your dad change, other than having a jet? Actually, having a jet is a really big deal. If I were queen of the world, I would pass a law against private jets, because they enable you to get around a certain reality. You don't have to go through an airport terminal, you don't have to interact, you don't have to be patient, you don't have to be uncomfortable. These are the things that remind us we're human.
I love her. I love her.
But it's quite funny that she's related to Walt Disney, who would definitely have...
hated her. Outed her as a communist.
Hated her. Yeah.
They're on the, what was it, the blacklist of people who aren't allowed to work in Hollywood because they're communists.
Yeah, well, he literally did testify for the House Un-American Activities Committee during the second Red Scare. So, yeah. I'll post the link to that article on the bitchin' Twitter.
Yes.
It is really good.
That's great. And it's interesting that she's like that almost directly because of the family that she comes from. You know, it's not in spite of, it's because of. So do we think that he's cryogenically frozen?
I didn't actually read anything about that, did you?
Only...
I feel like it's just an urban legend.
It's basically inconclusive, where there's not really much evidence to say that he is, but there's also not quite enough evidence to say that he isn't.
He was super into technology, but... Yeah.
And he also has the air of somebody who would like to live forever, if at all possible. Because he got sort of diagnosed with lung cancer. That's what he ended up dying of. And I think...
Because he'd smoked his whole life,
yeah,
right?
He'd smoked really heavily his whole life. And I think he... What the very dubious websites I've been reading have been saying is that he believed that there would be a time when there would be cures and there would be ways of, you know, living forever.
Mm.
And he's buried in his cryogenic body under the Pirates of the Caribbean roller coaster.
That's not true.
According to, what is this website? Biography.com or something.
Sounds very reputable.
Rumoured to be anti-Semitic, Disney attended meetings of the German-American Bund in the 1930s, a pro-Nazi organisation. He also hosted no-Nazi propagandists and filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl, giving her a tour of the Disney studios. Despite this, other claim rumours of Disney's anti-Semitism to be false. So a lot of people that knew him and worked with him sort of really say that all of the claims that he's anti-Semitic are not true. But the evidence is him going to this meeting.
He associated with people who were, which I guess for some people that's enough, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
because you, yeah, condoning those views by being associated with those people. But he did, I think on the Wikipedia it does say that he did have a lot of Jewish employees. Not that that fucking proves anything.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everyone was racist back then.
So it's fine.
No, I'm not saying it's fine. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. It is about context, though, where now you would really not associate with a Nazi, would you? But if everybody was a bit Nazi-y, it'd be hard not to...
You'd be like, oh, they're harmless.
Just another Nazi. Come on, man.
Oh, they're so wacky.
I think as well, he's just the kind of person who, it doesn't matter who you are, he wants to show them his theme park. He seems very proud of his theme park.
Maybe she was hot.
Maybe she was hot. Yeah, just because he was married all of his life to the same person doesn't mean he didn't. That's slander. That's slander. We have no evidence.
And that's how we get the lawsuit from the Disney company, baby. I love it here. It's great.
What, in your room?
Here in my room with you.
Oh, I love it too.
Any more for any more?
I mean, it's all just... He did a lot of stuff.
It's really great, this stuff. Like, if you... I mean, I used to while away the time at my temp job, RIP, in reading about serial killers. I'm not going to do that this time, because that's going to be bad. But I might just read about, spooky capitalism, as I'm going to brand it.
Spooky things,
companies covering up stuff, corporate espionage, all that shit. Very interesting.
I wonder if Disney would ever make a film about Disney covering up all of the people who died on their cruise ships.
No.
You know how the BBC sometimes report on the BBC? I love it when they do that.
Because they have to.
Yeah, I love it when they do that.
They're just like...
punching themselves in the...
I'm punching myself in my face. It's good. It's good shit.
If it's...
When the BBC News website has to put down how much everyone's being paid... Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We're really worth it, I promise.
The last film Disney oversaw personally was The Jungle Book. Oh, it says here Disney is not cryogenically frozen, despite the persistent rumours. He was cremated and his ashes were buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Glendale, California. So there you go.
That's what they want you to think. Sheep. Wake up, sheeple.
Sheeple! What? Sheeple!
Have you ever heard that before?
No, I love that so much.
Oh, wake up, you're not as online as I am.
Sheeple, that is my new... Oh my god. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. We hope you're well and safe, and reach out to us in the DMs.
Do get in touch.
Especially if you have an idea for who you'd want us to do, because frankly...
We're up for anything.
We want to give the people what they want.
We do. This is what we're here for. We're a public service. You're welcome. Now, go
Bye.
Into the wild, sheeple. See you next week.
Wake up, sheeple.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Bitchin', a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music was by Dave Cribb and our artwork was by Luke W. Robson.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.